The Lord is risen. Okay, let's try that again. He is risen indeed. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, as we come to your gospel this morning, to this great and wonderful news, Father, may we see your Son and not a gardener. In the name of the risen Christ, amen. Please be seated. So one Easter, three men died and went to heaven. And as they stood before St. Peter at the gate, Peter says to them, "You're in luck. We have a special this morning. If you can tell me what the meaning of Easter is, you can get in." Well, the first guy walked up and he wasn't so sure of himself, but, you know, he took a shot at it. And he says, "Oh, that's when the family comes together and we roast a turkey and we sit around the table and we talk about all the things that we're thankful for." And Peter said, "Wrong." That's a trap door, by the way. So the next guy, he's not too sure about this, too, but he's going to give a shot at it. So he comes up and he says, Easter is about the day that Jesus was born, and there's a manger, and there were shepherds, and there were angels," and Peter said, "Wrong." And then the third guy, he comes up. He's got this. That's easy. Easter is the third day after Jesus was crucified. It's the day that Christians believe that Jesus rose from the dead. The tomb was open and he came out. And if he sees his shadow, that means that we will have three more weeks of winter. You know, there are a lot of ideas out there on what today is about. For some, Easter is a rite of spring and it's a reason to buy a new outfit. It's okay. It's about bunnies laying chocolate eggs and Easter egg hunts. There's the Easter basket, the Easter ham, and something called hot cross buns. Okay, yeah, exactly. Oh, there's heads, the nodding, so there's something. In some ways, you know, we've tamed the story of Easter. And not that any of those things are bad, mind you, not at all. It's just that Easter is so much more. The biblical account of what happened 2,000 years ago is one of the most profound and transformational stories in human history. Though nobody quite understood it at the moment, Easter had changed everything. Easter changed everything for the disciples. Like I said, initially, no one understood. I mean, after Jesus' arrest, most of them fled the scene. And they didn't even go to the cross. They won. They locked themselves in a room thinking that they would be next. And two finally just packed up everything and started home on the way to Emmaus. But beginning with Mary's trip to the tomb, and her announcement that she had seen Jesus, everything started changing. Jesus was alive. He spoke to them. He ate with them. He taught them. And then 40 days later, they watched as he rose up into heaven. Then, soon after, Pentecost happened. And that's when the Holy Spirit came down in fire and power. And they would begin to proclaim with boldness that Jesus had been crucified for their sins. And that he rose from the dead. Most of the apostles would have been martyred for this. And in gruesome ways. But they had been changed. And their encounters with a risen Christ gave them all the courage and all the faith and all the hope that they needed to face anything, it changed everything for the disciples. Easter changed everything for Israel. Israel's prophesied Messiah had come. I mean, this was the one that had been spoken of in Isaiah, in Micah, in Joel, and so many others. The eternal king that was promised to David. The Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. The one who would be despised and rejected. The one who would bear our griefs and our sorrows, and by whose stripes we would be healed. This was Israel's king. Jesus was a Jew, and he would be the only Jew to ever completely fulfill the law of God. And because of this, through him, Israel could now be redeemed. It changed everything for the Gentiles. I mean, prior to the cross, God's redemptive work didn't include anyone outside of Israel. But Easter changed all that. Now, all of humanity would be offered the free gift of redemption and reconciliation with God. This is the story in Acts that we read. Cornelius and the others are the first Gentiles to become believers. And immediately following this scene, and right in front of some of the Jewish believers, the Holy Spirit came down on them, and they were saved. And this was astounding to them, that they would be included. Paul called this the great mystery that had been hidden from all the ages and was revealed now, that Gentiles would be included into God's redemptive plan. Israel changed everything for creation itself. See, the resurrection of Jesus meant that God was restoring not just humanity, but all creation. See, when Adam fell, creation experienced death and destruction as well. See, every service we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Where? On earth. On earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is the standard. Earth is the goal. Today, social, political, environmental deaths abound. But Christ is changing that. He's building his kingdom here on earth. His resurrection not only ensures that we can be made new, but that the whole earth would be made fit for God's eternal glory to reside. And it's important to understand this. Here's the key in that. God's plan of redemption is not primarily about you and me and our personal walk with Christ. It's about the redemption of all creation. And we are included in that. Finally, Easter has changed everything for us. For you and for I. Because death is finally defeated. See, before Easter, death was king. Death was sovereign. Death ruled. There was no escaping the clutches of death. Death took our families, our friends, our children. Death took our youth, our relationships, our careers, our happiness, our dreams. Death was an awful enemy. But Easter changed that for ever. The triumph of the empty tomb became the antidote to death. Paul writes this. He says, "For all, as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. And also, he must reign until he puts all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. The resurrection shows that we dare to hope for a bodily resurrection, but it means so much more than that. Because Adam's sin resulted not just in physical decay, but in our own spiritual separation from God. And this is the death that stands between us and Him. And its defeat means we may all be reconciled to God. The death that broke the disciples' hearts, the death that separated Gentiles from the promise of eternal life, the death that brought heartache and pain and destruction to all creation, and the death that ultimately separates us from God and eternity with Him has been overturned and destroyed. Easter is no metaphor for spring. Jesus didn't come back as a spirit. He was not a resuscitated corpse. He came as a man. He died. He was buried. And He rose again. Without this, there is no hope. There's no hope for spiritual life and no hope for our dying bodies to ever be transformed into bodies that will live forever. I get it. I get why society and in many ways the church has changed the meaning of Easter. Because Easter demands a decision. Every other day of the year, we can play our little games about who Jesus is and why He came, but not on Easter. On Easter, we are confronted with the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, and we have to give a response. I want to conclude with a picture of Mary at the tomb. As she stood there, weeping for the loss of her Jesus, she totally misses the fact that two angels stood right in front of her. They address her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And then she turns around, and Jesus is standing right there. But all she saw was a gardener. It's not until Jesus spoke her name did she break out of her grief. It's not until He spoke was she able to let go of the conviction that Jesus was really dead. And like Mary, we need to snap out of any delusion that doesn't include a risen Christ. Mary showed up and expected to see a body. And despite the angel's declaration and Jesus coming to her, she still couldn't see the truth. Still, Jesus spoke to her in such a sweet voice and called her and lovingly shook her into belief. Jesus stands before us this morning and calls our name. Will we see a gardener or will we see Christ?